Stop touching that snooze button and get ready to clock in with the best morning show on the planet.
It's okay when we're singing, we're dancing, we're playing on the field, making everybody else laugh, making everybody else millions of dollars. But as soon as we have a voice, we're punished for it.
Giving you an informative dialogue with a side of fun and laughter while cutting through the noise and bringing you the real stories behind the headlines.
Look, it takes 5 minutes. Notice I'm not getting to details about what goes on in Switzerland, but those that know, you know what I'm talking about.
Get a little. And then,
do it again. Do it again.
A little.
That's it.
You know what it is, Truth Nation. It's time to wake up with Milwaukee's favorite morning show.
My point is, if you're 40 or if you're still trying to push for something, it doesn't mean that it's over just because it's been delayed. Delayed doesn't mean denied.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at the Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, this is Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 101.7 The Truth app, and streaming on YouTube.
You gotta love black folks. We gonna make a way out. What you mean, man? All you gotta do is get
put a little oil in it.
go get the Robitussin so we can get this car fixed.
Here are your hosts, the effective communication coach, Denise Thomas, and two-time Emmy Award winner, Telly Hughes.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday. It is October 29th, 2024. You are listening to the best morning show on planet Earth. Good morning, Telly.
Good morning, DT. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Is that better? It seemed like I was a little low at first, but yes. Good morning. We back in full effect.
There we go. Interesting weekend. I know we weren't here yesterday. Shout out to Bailey, Dame, and Mr. Homer Blow for holding the fort down for Telly and I yesterday. I had a great 30th high school reunion and went to the game, the big game against the Commanders. Never in the history of being a diehard Bears fan, football fan, ever witnessed a Hail Mary live. And I'll tell you, when you are not on the right team, it hurts like no pain other than natural childbirth. That's probably about the worst pain I've experienced since witnessing, compared to witnessing that Hail Mary that took place at the Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland. Yeah, because I just knew we were going to win the game.
Here's the thing, DT. I'm just trying to figure out, how'd you get from Evansville reunion to the game? Like, you just totally skipped over your 30 year. I mean, you went from, oh, yeah, I started my 30. I mean, I had my 30th year. It was great. Then the Bears game. Like,
yeah, because that
no
trumped
details
everything.
About that.
That trumped.
That
I was just like.
Trump that. Oh,
it
no,
trumped it for
sucks.
Me. I was grieving, and I was just like, it was interesting because I've never attended a Washington Commanders game in any capacity, whether it was their home field or not. And that walk to the Uber or the rideshare section after the game, that was probably the longest walk. That's probably like the same feelings that I've had whenever I have to walk either out of Lambeau Field or Soldier Field. When we get beat by the Green Bay Packers, it was a long walk.
That was bad.
I've never been live at a game where there was a Hail Mary ever. I've seen them on television. I've read about them because what happened Sunday was, I think, in terms of yardage, that was the longest Hail Mary throw. I think it's up there with Aaron Rodgers when he threw that Hail Mary a few seasons ago.
In Detroit. Yeah.
Yep.
Hail Marys are so doggone rare, and if you're there to witness one in person, I mean, no matter what side you're on, of course you want to be on the winning side, but that's just something that you don't get a chance to witness that often. And funny enough, I was at that Aaron Rodgers one in Detroit in 2015, and it was. It was crazy. It is crazy because you got a lot of fans that are leaving already. Like, oh man, we good. And then, you know, and I remember it was just a few Green Bay fans in Detroit and they were just like, oh my gosh, it was crazy. It was crazy.
It was.
To witness it in person is nuts.
If anyone is wondering what a Hail Mary is, it is basically where we are talking about, I'm talking about down to the last second. And in this instance, as we saw, the clock is at 0-0-0. And in football, you don't have to wait for the clock to be, well, apparently now you do, but you don't necessarily have to wait for the clock to read 0-0-0 in order for people to say the game is pretty much done. And that's what a lot of folks, both on the Bears and Commanders side, felt. And that last second win, where you just walk off the field as the defeated, and everybody else is just, whew. So I got to give Jaden Daniels, who is the number two overall draft pick next to our number one quarterback draft pick Caleb Williams, he did the Hail Mary. He did the pass. Thanks a lot, Caleb. Anywho, but no, the weekend was great. The reunion was awesome. I saw so many people that I have not seen since we graduated in 1994. It was in Evansville. So what I love about being at home is that you can get anywhere in 10 minutes or less. Like, we had different venues throughout the weekend, and every time we had to go somewhere, we had a big group text, and it was like, psh, I'm leaving the house now. Starts at 7. I'm leaving at 6:55, and I could get there on time. But it was really, really nice. And so, I had a great time. Was good. Was glad to see a lot of people. And again, I saw one class friend that I had not seen since sixth grade, because once we entered middle school, our friendship just kind of fizzled. And when we got to high school, and I think that's what a lot of times happens when you have really close friends and you don't necessarily have that perception of the peer groups, like the cool kids or the athletes or the cheerleaders or, you know, the grungy students. That doesn't really kick in until, I would say, late middle school, definitely high school. And so me and this person, we separated, went to different peer groups, and I saw him for the first time on Saturday. We pulled up at the same time, and I hear somebody say, Denise, which, okay, I'm like, it's the reunion. I'm like, hey. And I could not recognize who this person was. And by the way, I recognized everyone, Telly. I was saying first and last names. I think I have good long-term memory and terrible short-term memory. And I said, okay, this is good. I'm remembering people. And this one particular man, he was like, hey, Denise. And I was like, hey, like, I don't know who this is. Who is this person? And he was like, it's Tim. And I'm like, I don't know Tim. I don't know what that means. And then he gave me his last name, and I was like, shut up. Because he looked completely different than he did in school. And what's so crazy, Telly, is that growing up in Southern Indiana, you did not talk about race or racism. You could, but it was very, very controversial. And if you brought it up, you were immediately, regardless of your race, you were identified or regarded as a troublemaker. So it was just a subject matter that was never part of growing up. And with that being said, you had a lot of, I experienced racism, but didn't really know what it was. In hindsight, 2020, I was like, wow. So anywho, this guy named Tim, we're talking about what we're doing now professionally. And imagine Telly 20 years from now, sitting down with former President Donald Trump, and he looks at you in the face and says, Telly, all of those comments that I made, all of those microaggressions that I delivered, you know, the way that I was just very dismissive, I apologize. I was wrong. And part of what I'm doing now professionally is facilitating conversations with primarily white male caucuses and discussing racism. And that's basically what had shared with me. He's like, I used to live in Harlem. Now he lives in somewhere in like the Upper East Side of New York. But anywho, it was just amazing to see how people have either remained the same or completely shifted. I mean, I'm serious, Telly. I had so many, I shouldn't say so many. I had three, but the impact was huge of certain white people that literally made my experience, I can't speak for other black students, but made my experience traumatic. And both of us not knowing what was happening, to come up to me at the reunion this weekend and say, you know, since then I moved to this city and, you know, I wasn't the majority. I may have been, you know, equal or half and half in terms of population size. Because actually this one dude who happens to be white, who was really, really just something else in high school, he moved to St. Louis, Telly, and he said that was the first time he's ever been in an environment where it appeared to be more black folks than him.
Yeah, so, I bet it was.
Yeah, it was just interesting. Again, Telly, it was a great experience. Everybody had a great time. We kicked off Friday evening. And you know that one girl that you go to school with that gossips all the time and be like, girl, or you just know she has not changed. I had not seen her probably in 20 years. And she was like, girl. I was like, yes, let's talk.
Oh, man. She was 20 years worth of tea for you.
Telly, she told me everybody who went to jail, who got out of jail, everybody, what they went to jail for. She was giving me all the tea.
It was as if we were still in high school. I got to ask you now that you have experienced it, and I will be experiencing mine next year. Did the moment meet the expectation? Because I don't think you can, like you said, your guy Tim, I just don't think you can prepare for things like that. Like, did you go in thinking that, oh, man, this is going to be some people I've seen, you know, I haven't seen in a minute? Or, I mean, did the experience meet the expectation of the experience?
It definitely exceeded the expectation because, number one, nice. And I think I'd shared this with you, I didn't really know who was all going to show up. Mm-hmm. I was like, is this going to be like a 10 body count, 20 body count? And if I had to approximate the number of people that were there, I would say anywhere between 70 and 85 people. It was a nice, group.
Great turnout.
It was. And it was just enough. It wasn't too big. It wasn't too small in terms of being able to catch up and just, you know, take a moment to reconnect with people. But yeah, it definitely exceeded my expectations. It was very heartfelt. A lot of us, again, we weren't, and let me be clear, it wasn't a whole like, well, what do you do now and where do you live? It was, a lot of it was just picking back up where we left off 30 years ago and cracking jokes and laughing. And we did not discuss politics one time.
Wow.
We did not discuss racism. We didn't discuss politics because there's a significant number of students that I grew up with that are white. We just had a good time. And I think a lot of us were in the mindset of, because some people traveled in from San Francisco. Some people traveled in from New York. You had a lot of folks that drove in from the Midwest. We just wanted to have a good time. Everybody can't look, yeah. Telly, we were talking about, because, you know, a lot of people were like, hey, you know, are you married? Are you, you know, in a relationship? And you would have thought it was a singles party because nobody brought their spouse. I was like, dang, y'all need a break? What's going on? Like, nope. We've had reunions every 5 or 10 years, and this was our 10th year interval. So the last time that we convened together as part of the reunion was back in 2014. And so I was like, the more reunions we have, the less y'all bring in y'all spouses. What does that mean? Because like when we had our 5-year telly in 98, we had our 5-year in 1999, everybody had their boyfriends or girlfriends or their partners, okay? Then the next one we had was a 10 year. So now people are, you know, 35, 36. And now you see, now you're meeting spouses, Telly. Okay. You're meeting spouses. Mm-hmm. What I found interesting is that this last one, it was like nobody out there, their significant others. And I seriously, I was like, dang, like, what, y'all needed a break or something? Like, where's all the booze at? So I just found that interesting.
Yeah. Wow. That's good though. Like I said, I mean, you kind of, you think you know how it's going to go, but then you really don't know how it's going to go. And then when it finally comes and you're able to enjoy it and you know, you really made me look forward to mine. Hopefully I'll be able to make it. But yes, you made me look forward to it because I think I was like anybody else. Like, you know, I mean, are we just going to go back and is it just going to be a competition and you know, who's doing what? But I mean, shoot, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. And mm-mm, you're living proof.
No, and it wasn't. So definitely consider going. So yeah, it was a great weekend overall, despite the big L for the Bears. We are going to come back and get into, as we are a week away, 1 week away from the general election, and you still have time to place your early vote. When we come back, we've got a lot of updates. Every day there's something happening that is somewhat of a shock factor and somewhat not regarding this election. What's interesting, as we get closer to the date, there is still a significant gap among men and women voters. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that. Also, some major endorsements for Madam Vice President Kamala Harris, who is running on the Democratic ticket, as well as former President Donald Trump holds a major, major campaign rally in New York at Madison Square Garden. We've already talked and heard about the comments that were made. Now let's get into, does this really change anything? Will this change anything? You're listening to the best morning show on planet Earth, Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Don't touch that dial. Truth Be Told with DT and Telly will be right back on 101.7 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 101.7 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Would you do for me?
If you do for me, I will do for you. If you do for me, I will do for you.
Well, excuse me. Let me let you know the time.
Good morning, Truth Nation. Happy Tuesday. Hope you are having a great start to the new week. It is again Tuesday, October 29th, 2024, and we are less than a week away from the general election, and the ballot is going to include a number of positions that we will ultimately, as registered voters, decide. And the biggest, as we know, is going to be the 47th president of the United States. Now, the most recent ABC News and IPSOS poll shows that there is still, even with less than 7 days to go until Election Day, there is still a significant difference, or what they're referring to as choice by gender, between female and male voters. Now, as of right now, Telly, 45% of men are among likely voters for Kamala Harris. 56% of women are likely to vote for Kamala Harris. For former President Donald Trump, 51% of men are among the likely to vote for Donald Trump, with 42% for women. So this is a very significant update, because now we are in crunch time, and Madam Vice President Kamala Harris, as we have witnessed, if you are watching Madam Vice President's campaigning over the past 2 or 3 weeks closely, you know that she and her campaign team have been very, very fixated on male voters, in particular black male voters. And I know just a few days ago, when she was campaigning in Georgia, she joined Shannon Sharp on Club Shay Shay. Did you get a chance to watch the podcast, Club Shay Shay podcast with Madam VP?
I did not. Was it good?
You know, here's the thing. Because the last time that you and I had somewhat of an in-depth conversation or assessment regarding Madam Vice President, you know, the last time we talked about her, I was not necessarily concerned, but she looked visibly tired and she sounded tired. Whatever she has done between now and then, she showed up. She showed up very well and she took us through a journey and she did it in a way that was very relatable. And again, she emphasized her experience as a Black Asian woman growing up in a middle-class family, all the way to her specific agenda for Black men. And so if you did not watch the podcast yet, of course, you can watch it. It's everywhere. And I actually stayed up till about 1:30 this morning tele-watching it because I didn't get home until late this morning from D.C. And so I turned it on and I said, okay, well, I'm not tired yet. So I watched it and if I were undecided, because I didn't know her, that would have been very influential to watch if I felt that I don't know her.
So you had your Pat moment.
Well, I already know. Well, see, Pat's undecided. See, I've been knowing who.
Yeah, yeah. No, you said for. If you were undecided, right?
But yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. That. I would. If I was having a Pat moment, that would have helped me get to know her. I'm not saying that that interview would persuade an unlikely voter to vote for Madam Vice President. But if you are undecided based on I really don't know her, that interview between her and Shannon Sharp on Club Shay Shay, it would give you a lot of information about who she is.
Gotcha.
And you know what was interesting?
Yeah, well, yeah, I was going to say that's good because, I mean, I'll be real with you. I don't think Shay Shay is a great interviewer. I just think that he has great guests, and if they want to spill the beans, they do. But I don't think his questions invoke those type of answers. But
really?
I mean, it's good that
interesting.
It was. Yeah, I mean, that's just my personal opinion. But it's good that he had a very informative interview with Madam Vice President, like you said, because I think that the most important thing is the information and her message, not, you know, as the person interviewing her, you become part of the story. So it's good to know that you got something out of it. And I'm sure you're not the only person that got something out of it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, Telly, because even Shannon Sharp, you know, he talked about, you know, when the podcast first started, I believe he said 4 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, during the interview. And he said you know, he and his team visioned interviewing, to your point, celebrities and having those in-depth conversations. He said not at one point did they ever think about they would be sitting across, or he would be sitting across from someone who's going to run for the most powerful position in the free world, President of the United States. He acknowledged that. And you know what and not to get off track, but I've had those thoughts before, Telly. And you of all people are very credible, because not only has that been your profession, you are an award-winning broadcasting journalist, an Emmy to be exact, or two Emmys to be exact. So the credibility definitely is there. I noticed that as I watch many episodes of Club Shay Shay, and in particular this one last night with Madam Vice President, I am truly having to accept the reality that it doesn't necessarily have to do with your talent or your skill set. It has more so to do with the following. Like, what is it going to take for me to gain this, you know, magnanimous amount of followers? Because quite frankly, if you want to go there, Telly, if during the campaign, like when she received the call, Madam Vice President, when she received the call from President Joe Biden, which she does talk about during the interview with Shannon Sharp, and her team came and said, okay, we got to hit the road smoking. I don't envision Madam Vice President Kamala Harris initially saying, we got to go on the Breakfast Club. We got to go on Club Shay Shay. You know, we got to go on this. And seriously, I don't think that that was at the top of the list. However, once the polls started being put together and it was, hey, black men, you might want to pay a little extra attention to them because these numbers, they are not screaming, we are all for Kamala. And so I think it's interesting how the Harris campaign has responded to the polls that are targeted specifically to black men in this country and how they plan to vote. And especially those, Telly, that have said, I'm not voting at all. Because both Madam Vice President and former President Donald Trump still have a significant number of undecided voters. And that is a lot of pressure.
Yeah. But that's I mean, give her team a lot of credit because you just can't ignore what the polls are saying and what the climate is. And when they started to see that, let's just be real, there's probably more black men that are going to vote for Trump this time around than, you know, probably double than from the last time. And so you need to combat that. And just like when she first entered the race, she came in on fire, $100 million in 24 hours. And he had to find a way like, all right, you know, this momentum, A, it's going to be hard to sustain. But B, okay, what can we do? And then they made the adjustment. And then now she is making the adjustment. And so I think, you know, give her team props. And she's not leaving any stone unturned. And so no matter what the results are of this race, she can say that, hey, I put the effort down. I did, you know, I was going after, you know, those specific votes. And, you know, if I'm able to get them, I'm able to get them. But there's nothing. I mean, it ain't because I didn't try or a lack of effort. And
I completely
and the
agree.
Thing that. And yeah, and the thing that you've always said that, you know, Madam Secretary Hillary Clinton. Her biggest regret, Madam Vice President won't have that same regret because she hasn't ignored or taken any votes in Wisconsin specifically for granted.
I completely agree, as well as doing her best to meet black men in this country where they are, going to them and listening and asking questions, as well as being specific regarding the agenda. When we come back for break, I have a serious question, Truth Nation, and this question is particularly targeted to our black Trump supporters. I really want to understand, because as we witnessed the jokes, the racist jokes that were delivered during former President Trump's New York City rally this past Sunday, it has been receiving significant backlash. But what my question is to the black Trump supporters, does this matter? Or if it doesn't, why does this not matter when you are supporting a candidate who is still at this point supporting or engaging or even disregarding racist remarks? I'm asking out of ignorance. When we come back, our Truth Talking text line is 833-212-1017. Does it matter that you could be electing someone who responds to racist jokes with, you're getting way too sensitive? I want to hear from you. Telly, I want to get your reaction as well. Stay locked in. You're listening to the best morning show on planet Earth. We'll be back.
Don't touch that dial. Truth Be Told with DT and Telly will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Milwaukee, the time is almost here. We have been entering True Fans into the Gruber Law Office's 5K giveaway for the last 3 months. And this Thursday, October 31st, we finally pick our next call, one call, that's all, $5,000 giveaway winner. Be sure to tune into Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on Halloween so you do not miss your call, because if you do, we will go down to the next caller until we find our $5,000 winner. Again, that is the Big Gruber 5K giveaway this Thursday on Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
And Truth Nation, the Truth is the home of Marquette University High School Hilltoppers football. We have a big round two playoff matchup as the Marquette Hilltoppers look to keep their playoff journey alive as they host the DePere Redbirds. Kickoff is set for 7 p.m. this Friday night. High school sports on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth is presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Now, former President Donald Trump and his running mate, Senator J.D. Vance, Republican out of Ohio, attended a major campaign rally this past Sunday in New York at Madison Square Garden. And former President Donald Trump had a number of appearances, including comedian Tony Hinchcliffe. Now, if you're not familiar with Tony Hinchcliffe, and Telly, I just was introduced to him during the Tom Brady roast, which aired on Netflix. That was the first time I had ever heard of him, ever seen him. And quite frankly, he's funny. He is a roast comedian. And if you've ever watched a roast, and roasts, they go back as far as, what's the, Dean Martin from the Rat Pack. It's a part of comedy culture. However, I don't think that when you speak at a rally where you're campaigning on behalf of a presidential candidate, that you should be on stage just telling stupid racist jokes. Like, a roast is a platform where it's kind of like all is fair in love and war. It's just like there's, you know, you're prepared for that. You know that. Mm-hmm. Before we get into the reactions from both sides of Tony Hinchcliffe's comments about Puerto Rico while he was speaking at Trump's Madison Square Garden rally Sunday, let's take a listen to exactly some of the things that was said during this rally by Tony Hinchcliffe.
Where are my proud Latinos at tonight? You guys see what I mean? It's wide open. There's so many of them. It's absolutely incredible. Believe it or not, people, I welcome migrants to the United States of America with open arms. And by open arms, I mean like this. It's wild. And these Latinos, they love making babies too. Just know that. They do. They do. There's no pulling out. They don't do that. They come inside, just like they did to our country. There's a lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Oh, wow.
Really?
I'm still waiting on the funny part.
Again, he's a roast comic. Why was he invited to roast Puerto Ricans who happen to be Americans, who happen to be voters, and you're trying to tap into a demographic, and that's what you say? On our Truth Talk and text line, which is 833-212-1017, my question is this. Dear fellow black, well, I'm not going to say fellow. Dear black Trump supporters, the jokes, the racist comments, the narratives that we've been hearing. I'm trying to understand how someone, if they walked up to you off the street and said that to you, the probability of your offense is very high. And we're talking about someone who's running to be president of the United States. On our Troop Talk and text line, Alfonso says, if black men choose to vote, boo-hoo, and that's why the black women is always the lionesses of the nest. Black men know that, and who black men always come home to, the lioness of the nest. Marcus says, those jokes were definitely insensitive, but at the same time, I'm more offended how the Harris team talks down to black men. Good morning, the caller. You are live with DT and Telly. What is your question or comment?
Many times there were black people who ran out to the slave ships when they landed in West Africa. There were black Confederates, and I think some of these people will have to experience the experience that John Lewis had when he was a teenager to have an understanding that they still hate you, as Sarge said in Denzel's first movie, A Soldier's Story.
Wait a minute, comments, caller. What kind of experiences that do we as black people need to experience, like former Congressman John Lewis? What are those experiences that you're referencing?
Well, John Lewis nearly gave his life when he was 17 years old trying to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge to fight for the rights that they take for granted. And you take that for granted when you will sit there. I don't know if you played the part where there was a gentleman with some hat on, and this so-called comic said that this gentleman hosted a Halloween party and that he went with him and carved watermelons. So when they tell you at a Klan rally that they have no respect for you and they have a Project 2025 that will actually impede the process of protesting, as John Lewis and Dr. King and Medgar Evers did for us, when they tell you that and you're more offended by Michelle Obama telling the truth about the gross incompetence of Donald Trump and the misogyny and racism and the hate for women and the fact that there is a woman in jail right now for having a miscarriage in one of those red states, then I think that experience will be the only thing that will teach you the history that you and I and many other educated black people are aware of. And I'm sad that day
okay,
may come.
So the caller, are you willing mm-hmm. to go through that experience? Because see, this is how I see it. I see this generational curse where black people, it's like we have this resentment towards the next generation. I remember one time we had a caller say that the MPS students, they need to be in classrooms without air conditioning, because that's what he experienced. I think we're forgetting that Congressman John Lewis, he walked across mm-hmm. that bridge and sacrificed mm-hmm. so that we wouldn't have to. See, that's the whole like point of the fight.
Ma'am.
My grandmother
totally agree.
Cleaned houses for white people. And when I asked her what she was doing, she says, I'm doing this mm-hmm. so that you don't have to. So when you say things like this is something that we need to experience as a race, quite frankly, the caller, there really
difference. I'm talking specifically, Denise, please don't misinterpret. I'm talking specifically about people who would say that they're more worried about what Vice President Harris or what Michelle Obama has to say about black men, which are, you know, people who I think have a certain view about a woman being president, which is ridiculous. And that's quite to the contrary. I'm saying that tongue in cheek. I don't ever want us to experience that. But I'm saying these people are speaking, and maybe that's what I should have said. These people are speaking like they need that experience to know that there's nobody in the Donald Trump Make America Confederate Again camp that cares about them or their children or grandchildren. I'm voting for my grandchildren and my children, and I think that is in the spirit of what our forefathers did for us in the 60s and the 50s and the 40s and the 30s. So quite to the contrary, I really don't want us to ever experience that. But I'm saying there are some people who speak as if that is what they'll have to experience to realize that there is no choice in this election. There's a person who tried to take over our country.
Thank you, the caller.
So I think we have
five other callers online.
Thank you.
All right. Wayne, thank you so much for your patience. You are live with DT and Telly. What is your question or comment?
Hello?
Hi, Wayne. Good morning. You're live with DT and Telly. What's your question or comment?
No, this isn't Wayne. This is Brian. He must have got the name wrong.
Okay. That's okay. Good morning.
As far as the Madison Square Garden thing and the roast, what have you, the jokes were not funny at all. And I don't think the Trump administration knew what this person was actually going to say. But the bigger picture of this whole thing is that it's a few days left before the election. You have a clear choice of what you have to do. You have to vote your interests. Now, if you're the type of person that's into unnormal ways, then you vote Democrat. If you're into traditional ways, and as the world is now, then you have to take a stand and kind of hold your nose and vote for the conservative guy. But I would say Agenda 21 is more dangerous to our black population than Agenda 25. That's the agenda they're not talking about. And that's the agenda that was put in place back in the 50s and 60s. So according to what's actually happening with this, the transhumanism and the changing of genders and what have you, this stuff was already printed up back in the 50s and 60s. So the bigger picture is, do you want to stay human or do you want to go to transhumanism? That's a clear choice between Democrats and Republicans. Normalcy.
Okay, so let me make sure I get, because I'm really trying to make sure my hearing is working. So, Brian, what you're saying is that if you are pro or for transgenderism, then you are a Democrat. If you are not, then you are a Republican.
Absolutely. But Ms. Harris is a great candidate. She's a very nice person. I would love to see her win. If the situations were fair, if the situations in this society were normal. Howard, we're not in normal, or we're not in normal times. Our son isn't even normal anymore. So, you know, there's a lot of things that, all things being fair and equal, yeah, I would love her to be the president. But these are not normal times, and they're not going to get any more normal. The Democratic agenda is bigger than her.
Thank you, Brian, for your call. We appreciate it. So we got to take a break. I know we have a number of callers that are holding. We're going to come right to you when we come back. So please hang on as long as you can. We'll take your calls and we appreciate your patience. Our Truth Talking text line is 833-212-1017. We are discussing the reactions from this country based on the racist remarks that were delivered by roast comic Tony Hinchcliffe during former President Donald Trump's campaign rally inside Madison Square Garden in New York City. Does this impact black Americans the way that we're planning to vote? When we hear racist jokes being presented, whether known or not known, and the response, we're going to get to the response from both J.D. Vance and the Trump campaign when we come back. Because Brian says that they didn't necessarily know, but you do have a responsibility to respond. And we're going to get into that when we come back. Stay locked in. This is the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Don't touch that dial. Truth Be Told with DT and Telly will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This is Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Good morning, Truth Nation, we are discussing reactions from the roast comic Tony Hinchcliffe's remarks during the Trump-Vance rally in New York on Sunday at Madison Square Garden. Rob from the South Side, we got 1 minute before we go to our second hour. We want to hear from you. Thank you so much for your patience. What is your question or comment?
Oh, Rob, I know people are going to try to excuse this. Yeah, excuse the comedian saying it was just his jokes, it wasn't Trump, but it is who you associate with, okay? And it's a shame that when black folks have always been the butt of every joke, and people really haven't been trying to stick up for us like we stood up for ourselves, but when you see one race get attacked, you're next. That's why you hear a lot of Puerto Ricans like the Jennifer Lopez and the Mark Anthony's are coming out and getting upset about saying that the Puerto Rican Isle is a trash island. And I really would like to hear from a Fat Joe, because he bragged about how he bought those ugly sneakers from Trump, how he's a sneakerhead and all that stuff. He's from New York and all that. I got a buddy from Tony, works for Gordon. He's from New York, but he's a pro-Trump guy. So I don't know if anything's off limits, because the Trump campaign is disrespected in every race except Caucasians. So if people still going to vote for this guy, you have no principles, no morals, and you ain't got no respect for yourself. That's why I see it.
There it is. Thank you, Rob, from Southside. So, Telly, when we come back, it's obvious because our Truth Talking text line is blowing up. The YouTube message board is on fire. We're going to revisit some of these remarks that are coming in. We want to continue to hear from you. Our Truth Talk and text line is 833-212-1017. We are covering 2024 vote. It is your time to vote in the state of Wisconsin. You can still early vote through November the 3rd. So we come back. We've got that and other hot topics. We've also got a non-traditional mayor who is publicly endorsing Madam Vice President. We're going to get into that. And yes, this mayor is in the state of Wisconsin. Non-traditional. Let's get locked in, y'all. It's Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. You're listening to the best morning show on planet Earth. Truth Be Told with DT and Telly. We'll be back.
Truth Nation, let us take a second to brag for a moment. There is no other station in the country where you get a front row seat to hear from some of the biggest names in politics, pop culture, and sports. People like President Joe Biden.
Black child poverty was cut in half in 2021. We've built black wealth, 15 million jobs nationwide, more than 2.5 million for black Americans. Black wealth is up 60% since the pandemic.
Former President Donald Trump's son, Eric Trump.
Guys, we almost had a former president and very likely future president assassinated on live TV. Like, you know what that would have done for this country? You know what that would have made our country look like? We would look like a banana republic.
And Brewers All-Star and former National League MVP, Christian Yelich.
Listen, you already know.
Yeah, we got to. We were just in LA, so we heard our fair share of Kendrick out there.